Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Good Thoughts, Good Words. Thank you to Don, Kristen, and Dave for being part of the video. Dave will read 2 Peter 3, 1-2 as part of the welcome.
I'd like to welcome you to our church service, Beamsville. Our pandemic has restricted us once again and for a little longer. I have a brief reading from Psalms 27. I'm going to skip around a few verses, but I think it may speak to all of us during these times of uncertainty. It's a psalm of David, and David is saying, verse 4 of Psalms 27, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock." Verse 8, "My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek." Verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path." Verse 13, "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." We have a number of prayer concerns that we bring before God. First of all, happy birthday to Diane. Happy anniversary to Steve and Jenny. Gloria and Jim Lamont pass on their thanks for well wishes, for thoughts, prayers, and flowers following Gloria's surgery. Let's go to God in prayer now. Father, we pray for strength during these unsettling times. We ask for help to grow in our faith and to seek your face always. We pray for people who are dealing with various health concerns, for their recovery, for their care. We pray for their caregivers. We pray for Debbie's mother, Ralph and Joyce, Jenny's family, Lori H., Kathleen, John and Joe, for Gloria's nephew, for Grant and Barbara, for Helen's sister, Ellen, for Ruby, and again for Gloria and Jim Lamont and Gloria's recovery, and for Mike and his recovery. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones during this time of restriction. It's difficult. We pray for those facing difficult challenges, mental health issues, the stresses of family, employment or loss of a job, strained financial situations. We pray for these people that they would receive what is needed during this time of uncertainty, and that you would open our eyes and our hearts to respond to their needs as we can. Father, strengthen us to the work. Open our hearts to realize your presence in Christ Jesus. Amen. The reading for this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is how my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given to you by our Lord and Savior through your apostles.
Wherever you are in this world today, and you're receiving this message, we are grateful. We are part of you, and you are part of us, and we are eternally grateful. We wish you good health, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and that we all reach out to one another. It's easy to love the people you love. It may not be easy to love everyone, especially when people lash out at others in frustration and anxiety, largely because of the pandemic. I want to spend some time today thinking about good thoughts and good words. I want to notice a number of scriptures that help us to think good thoughts and to speak good words. What we say can certainly elevate a person. And sometimes what we say can deflate a person. And we don't want to do that. We want to be encouragers. Good words and good thoughts. Christ did not come to burden us. Rather, he came to set us free. And we'll talk a little bit about that today as to what does that actually mean? To have good, happy, holy thinking. Often we treat others based on our own thinking, our own scheme, our own way of living is often how we treat others. And yet we want to be careful that when people lash out at us, that we don't lash back. Especially during this pandemic, as followers of Christ, may we say good words, gentle words, safe words, loving words, kind words that would help others. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians being the first New Testament book that was written, Paul says these words, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Do you feel free this morning? Stand firm then, and do not allow yourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's not always easy to think happy, good, spiritual thoughts during this pandemic, but it's God's good medicine to do exactly that. Limitless good thinking. So I'm going to share a number of passages of scripture, and you may want to jot these down if you're listening, and you can spend some time looking at them as the days go by. Again, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, 22 through 25 is sometimes called the fruit of the Spirit, the overflow of the Spirit. If we want to know who the Holy Spirit is, these are words that describe him, and because the Holy Spirit lives in us, Paul is saying these are words that can describe us as well, God's Spirit living in us. And here's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit living in us. Good words, good thoughts. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So when people maybe lash out, there's a tendency to respond the same way, and yet the Spirit is saying, no, no, no. Remember Christ? How people would lash out at him, and his response were words that were good, that were encouraging? that could be loving. So the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Are you feeling joy? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified that sinful nature with its passions and pleasures. And so it says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with that Spirit. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? Good words and good thoughts. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, again, these are not unheard words in the past. These are very, very good words. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Here's what he says. Rejoice in the Lord. And I can't forget the next word. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. It's a beautiful part of who we are. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And that's so important right now during this pandemic when so many people are feeling frustrated and calling out to the Lord. How long, O Lord? How long will this be? Don't be anxious about it, he says, but keep praying. Keep petitioning God. Let those requests go to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think good thoughts. Think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. So if others lash out in their anxiety and frustration, we can respond with peace. The book of Colossians also gives us good words. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, here's what, again, Paul says to this church at Colossae. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted in him, built up in him, strengthen in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. These are good words, encouraging words that we need to share. And then in chapter 2 as well in Colossians, well, actually, let's just go to chapter 3 if you have a Bible. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he's talking about being raised in Christ. I'm not going to go back and read all of chapter 2, but in chapter 2 of Colossians, he's talking also about being baptized in Christ, and we're raised in Christ. And so based on all of that, in chapter 3, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, since you've been baptized with Christ, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then these words, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Speak good words. Think good thoughts. So back in Romans, Paul says in chapter 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, forgiveness, love, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's your true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice what Paul says true worship is. It doesn't make any sense to come together as a group of people praising God with all of our heart. It's great and it's wonderful. And we go in out into the world and people might lash out, say, and then we lash back. Or we're frustrated and we're disobedient to God's love and we're doing all these negative things, but we come back into the church and, oh, that's okay. No, Paul is saying, let your worship as a gathering of people be demonstrated, not just in the church building, but as we go out into the world, speak good words, think good thoughts, be an encourager, because you know that there are so many people dealing with anxiety right now because of the pandemic. And we sometimes call out, how long, O Lord? And we hear God's response, I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. Not just in the good times, but in the bad times as well. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Then I also want to spend some time talking about comfort. If we're going to extend comfort to others, it's usually because we've gone through a difficult time and comfort has come to us. Maybe there have been times in your life when you've been distraught and you hear from someone and just the words that were spoken to you changed your thinking. In fact, changed your life, changed your understanding of even that person, because that person's comfort, true good words, good thoughts, comfort come to us. And so we want to respond by comforting others. The Bible is quite clear about how important it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is where I want to look. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about this. And if Paul wants to get the point across, he often repeats himself. And notice how often this word comfort or comfortable or comforting is used here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Comfort coming to us from God. And as that comfort comes, can we receive it and then share it with others? Listen to the words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. During the pandemic, those are good words. Patient endurance. And then in verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in your comfort. We don't always know what's going on in someone's life. If they lash out, it can just be because of the pandemic and the anxiety and the frustration of it all. But you don't know whatever's going on in someone's life. If they have ill health, or maybe there's been some frustrating times with relationships or loved ones who've committed themselves, have walked away, and you're feeling lonely and desperate and despondent, and you call out to God, which is a good thing to do. To speak good words. And if someone lashes out, it's often because we don't know what's going on in their life. And if you just happen to be the target, be grateful that you're the target. So you can hold on to that. And you can say, that person must be really going through a difficult time. Not to take everything so personally, but to realize people are hurting. So can we respond to their hurt and their lashing out and their frustration the way God does, by being a comfort? Yes, I know it's difficult. I know it's frustrating. And those are good things, and those are good words. And the fruit of God's Spirit is really a beautiful thing when you look at each one. Just spend some time talking about this. May God's fruit of the Spirit be our fruit, the first one being love. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like the first, to love each other. To love each other. You don't have to know a person in order to love them. By extending the goodness of God into their lives. May God's Spirit also be our spirit. May God's fruit of the Spirit be our fruit. And that is love. The second one is joy. Way back in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, who was having a really difficult time, a lot of people on his back, a lot of people criticizing him, some people saying things about him that weren't true. He was frustrated. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of walking into the room. Rumors have been spreading about you, and none of them are true. And what do? Nehemiah just holds his tongue. He holds his comfort. And then he speaks these words, "The joy of the Lord, that's my strength." If you're feeling overwhelmed, know that God's joy overflows into you. Whether you receive it or not is up to us. But God's joy flows into our life. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah says, in the midst of criticism day in and day out, it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. And I pray, Nehemiah says, that someday those who are so critical of me will stop that, and that they themselves will receive the joy of the Lord. And then when that temple was built, oh, the joy of the Lord was profound. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and then these words, peace. To bring calm to a storm of words. Now, one of the great stories in the New Testament that we all know well was Jesus is out on a boat with his disciples, and this furious squall comes up, and they're afraid that they're going to drown. And Jesus just holds their peace. May peace be still, and the waters calm. I think sometimes we need to hear those words from Jesus into our life, when the waters of life are churning and are despondent and people are lashing out, God's peace coming upon us. To bring calm to a storm of words, sometimes hurtful words, sometimes painful words, but not to lash out. Wouldn't it be interesting if someone asked us our real occupation in life? And we responded by saying, peacemaker. Peacemaker. No, that's not what I meant. What's your occupation? Oh, my occupation is this, but my real job is peacemaker. See, Jesus came into my life to bring peace. And that if I somehow can have that peace of the joy of the Lord, I need to share that with my family, with my friends. And I need to keep that peace. Because it's God who gives us this peace. The fruit of God's Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then patience. Patience is an important word. Speak good words. Think good thoughts. This may take time to learn, patience. Sometimes, no, I'm not kidding, but it's true. Sometimes we're too impatient to become patient. Can't always hurry patience, but life has a way of teaching us. Scripture says, a patient person has great understanding, but a quick-tempered person person displays folly. That's Proverbs 14 and verse 29. So there's love and there's joy and there's peace and there's patience. And then there's kindness. Just being kind. Just smiling at someone who's having a really difficult time. And just as the discussion continues, you can sort of feel by looking at them that they're not as uptight as they were, and they start to relax and they start to feel comfortable. And it's unique that when Paul talks about kindness spiritually, well, let me just read to you these words. At one time, he says, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. What a terrible way to live. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, no, but because of God's mercy, kindness, love, forgiveness, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal as he poured out this on our lives. And if God, through God's Holy Spirit, pours out all of this grace and renewal and rebirth into our life, can't we share that with others? Speak good words. Think good thoughts. Share what Christ has done for us. Kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and then goodness. God enjoys goodness. He said it many times in his creation. God said, and he creates. And at the end of each of his creation, he says, it is what? Good. When Christ was born, we remember the Christmas story when the angel says to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Even though 2,000 years ago, that's for us. A Savior has been born to us, is what Scripture says. To us. We are part of that Christmas story. A Savior has been born to us. No matter how difficult life becomes, no one can take away the fact that Jesus was born for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. In a book that we don't read very often because it's so brief, it's called 3 John, verse 3, says, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. Can you picture people you know who have an unshakable faith? All that's being said is, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. Let's face it, people talk about other people. Church people often talk about other church people. But may that conversation, may that talk be good talk, be good words, be good thoughts. This brief book is this encouraging, very appropriate for a pandemic today. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. And if they can be faithful, and if we can be faithful in this pandemic, may others be faithful, because they've seen us be faithful. They've seen us be loving and kind and good and faithful. And then this beautiful word, and we're almost finished, gentleness. Ephesians chapter 4, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. You've been called, you've received that calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So wherever you go, whether it's in the grocery store or in some other place, and you can tell obviously by someone's disposition that they're upset, that they're in a hurry, that they're losing their patience, that they may lash out, our response needs to be humble, gentle. Be patient with others who aren't. Be gentle with people who aren't. Be humble with those who aren't. Be loving with those who aren't. Bring joy to those who don't have it. See, these words are not just words to memorize. They're life-changing qualities of someone's own spiritual personality. Oh, I know that person. She's full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. I know that because I see it. I know that because that's how she's responded to me or him. These are all not just reading words. These are life-changing words, especially during a pandemic, where what can we do during this pandemic that's going to change people's lives? This. Do these things. Think good thoughts. Say good words. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. Let others be encouraged by encouraging them. Be loving, joyful, peaceful, all these things. And then the self-control. There can be a tendency, especially if we're not having a good day, if someone lashes out, that you can almost feel that you want to lash out too, but you don't. You just hold it back. Hold it down. It's called self-control. Sometimes that control gets away. No. Self-control. Here's what Peter says. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, add perseverance. Keep doing it. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in ever-increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective. And we need to be effective in this world today. They'll keep us from being ineffective when we bring these fruit of the Spirit to others' lives, and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read these beautiful fruit of the Spirit, I thought of Jesus. Maybe you automatically think of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But maybe you also think of others. It might be your father, it might be your mother, might be a grandparent, might be someone whom you miss desperately. They left life way too soon. And you not only miss them, you miss them because they were the epitome of the fruit of God's Spirit. They didn't just occasionally demonstrate it. They seemed to live a life of love and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. And it almost came across to us like they didn't even have to work at it. God's spirit had so entwined with their own spirit that this demonstration of love was evident. The older we get and the longer this pandemic remains, I want to encourage myself, and I want to encourage you, wherever you are hearing these words today, not to lash out, but to let this fruit of the Spirit be the medicine that you need, that no matter what is happening in the world, this will work. This will work during war. This will work during famine. This will work no matter what is happening in the world. And even when someone leaves this life too soon, this still works. That we will be with him forever, and we will be with our loved ones forever. And that no matter what's happening, this works. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. God pours out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sometimes people get lost and they get separated from their destination and they can't find their way home. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I'm the lost. He came for me. It doesn't matter who you are, he came to save you. It doesn't matter what you've done, how terrible we think our lives are, he's reaching out to us to help, to transform. He died for us so that we could be saved. Right now, in Ontario, we're going through a separation of, it's a big proportion. We're separated from a lot of people that we want to be with. I'm feeling it. I don't know about you, but this last lockdown announcement just made me feel really, really sad. I don't like that feeling of separation, but I know it's going to get better. There's been Facebook posts about when the pandemic is done, who's the first person you're going to have a dinner with, or who would you like to hug? I love that feeling of hope and that we have that knowledge that we're not going to be separated forever. I think about the story of the prodigal son, and he left, he kind of made a mess of his life. He thought he was doing the right thing, and then he realized he had made a terrible mess of everything around him, and he wanted to go back home. And he was really worried that when he came back home, he wouldn't be welcomed. There's a wonderful quote by a person named Carissa Caples. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but I just happened to stumble across it on Twitter, and I don't really use Twitter that much, but I do have a few people that I look to, and this is a wonderful quote about the prodigal son story. She writes that she was crying when she read the part where the prodigal son rehearses the speech to himself in preparation to approach his dad. He got a hug before he started the speech. He only said half of it before the father called for a party. She says, "Wanderer, stop drafting your speech. Just come home. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, lay it down at the feet of Jesus, because he knows our hearts and he's waiting for us." So today, as we come to the table to remember Jesus, we just want to lay it down for him. He's going to welcome us. He's already got the party started. He knows our hearts. He's forgiven us even before we can ask for it. Please bow with me in prayer. Father, Lord Jesus, forgive us. When we are lost and we are hopeless, you love us. Thank you for opening your arms. Thank you for your patience. When we think that we can't do it on our own, we know that you're there. Thank you for your life, your gift that keeps us connected to you, to your love, to your forgiveness, connected to your mercy. We are reborn through you. Without you, we are lost, but your grace covers us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank Don for his words and Kristen for her words around the table. Close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our time here today. We pray for peace and comfort. We pray that we may be full of the fruit of the Spirit, that we may seek your face in our surroundings, and in the people. You are our help. We need patience, love, and understanding in our lives during this time of trouble. We pray for these things in Christ's name. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.